$950 a month. What doesn't show up on the chart is the change in her discretionary spending from entertainment to fill the void to activities in support of my purpose, and the fact that her feeling of inner peace went steadily up. Her income line, as we said in Chapter 7, went off the charts, not only from her professional work, but also from some part-time piecework she did for a small local company. Nina's chart is fairly typical for a dyed-in-the-wool frugal person whose earning power goes to the ceiling. Ellen H.'s chart, see figure 8.2 in your PDF, is typical of a fairly steady earner and heavy spender who diligently applied the principles of this program and cut her spending in half while, she claims, adding to both the quality of her life and her self-esteem. Capital. What you see in both these charts is a growing gap between income and expenses, that is, savings. Before FI thinking, this gap means more spending money. After FI thinking, these savings are seen in a different light. FI thinking calls that gap capital. Capital is money that makes money as opposed to sitting in the bank. Whether $50 or $500, your capital can start producing an income. Doing steps 8 and 9, you will see that financial independence isn't just for the 1% or the 10%. It's for anyone and everyone who chooses to transform their relationship with money and accumulate enough wealth which, when invested wisely, can provide a lifetime of passive income. With step 8, the possibility of complete financial independence opens up. Let that sink in. A new line on your chart, monthly investment income. The income you receive from your capital is of a different nature than your job income. It comes in whether or not you go to work, email clients a final project, or hit your monthly sales goal. This money continues to flow from all your investments in the form of dividends, interest, rent checks, or business profits. Instead of simply lumping it in with your total monthly income, you will use the following formula to create a third line on your chart, monthly investment income. Step 8, capital and the crossover point. Each month, apply the following formula to your total accumulated capital and record the result on your wall chart. Capital times current long-term interest rate over 12 months equals monthly investment income. Simply put, when your monthly investment income line on your wall chart crosses over your expense line, you cross over into financial independence. Here's how. Your total accumulated capital is simply the money you have, usually in a savings account, that you are not planning to spend. For the current interest rate, don't use what you get in your checking account. Instead, use the current yield of long-term 30-year treasury bonds or perhaps certificates of deposit. The U.S. Treasury bond figure is one of the best reflections of prevailing interest rates on debt instruments. We are not saying to buy them, just use the interest rate. It is a conservative estimate of the return you can expect from such a long-term investment. Applying this percentage to your capital doesn't mean you now have that income. It simulates the kind of income you will have later from your FI portfolio. We'll talk more about that in Chapter 9. Thus allowing you to do this crucial step of projecting what your FI income will be. For mathematical simplicity, we will use 4%, but this is a convenience for our discussion only and not a prediction or a promise about what interest rates will be when you are ready to invest. When you do, there are a variety of investments you can own, which will ultimately determine your estimated return on investment or ROI. Regardless of what those investments might be, what we know for sure about the financial world is that even the safest investments go up and down. At the moment, don't worry too much about your number. Just use the current rate. Interestingly, in traditional financial planning, 4% is also a key percentage for calculating retirement income. It's known as the safe withdrawal rate. With a blended portfolio of stocks and bonds, withdrawing 4% of your capital each year preserves your capital, protects against inflation, and gives you an annual income to cover your expenses. The concept is somewhat Goldilocks in nature. If you were to estimate 3% annual withdrawals, it might not be enough money to cover your expenses. However, withdrawing 5% of your capital each year may dry it up too quickly. Remember, this is a general example and not specific financial instructions, because both the safe withdrawal rate and the current long-term bond interest use the same percentage, 4%. It is a reasonable choice for the following examples. Let's say you have $100 in savings. If you were to invest that $100 of capital in a bond that pays 4% interest, the equation would look like this. $100 times 4% over 12 equals 33 cents a month. For every $100 invested, you will get 33 cents each month for the life of the bond or CD. The original $100 remains untouched, and you will eventually get it back. But this is only the beginning. So if on the first month of your chart you have $1,000 in savings and the current interest rate is 4%, your equation will read $1,000 times 4% over 12 equals $3.33 monthly investment income. This simply means that the $1,000 you now have in savings has the power to bring in $3.33 every month, if you consider it capital and invest it in a bond or other equivalent investment. In this example, you would post $3.33 on your wall chart. We'll see in a moment how that looks on Nina's chart. Sure, it's a tiny figure compared to the towering income spikes on your wall chart, but it's still $3.33 a month, $40 a year for the rest of the life of that bond. For fun, try translating that into something tangible, some expense you consider necessary for survival. It could be the pounds of rice you use a month, or a couple weeks' worth of coffee beans, or part of your cell phone bill. Keep applying the equation to your total accumulated savings each month. For example, if you save another $500 during the second month, add it to your previous total of $1,000, and your equation for that month will look like $1,500 times 4% over 12 equals $5 monthly investment income. Post this figure and connect it to the previous one. After a number of months, your chart will show a third line creeping up from the bottom. This line represents monthly investment income. See figure 8.3 in your PDF. Once your income and expenditures become consistent, you can calculate your finish line or how much you would need to save and invest to make employment optional. To do this, let's think about the preceding equation in reverse. Let's say your average annual spending is $36,000 or $3,000 per month, and you want a safe withdrawal rate of 4% after retiring. Based on these numbers, you can calculate how much you would need in assets to declare financial independence. $3,000 times 12 over 4% equals $900,000 total assets. Mr. Money Mustache summarizes this rule of thumb as follows. Your crossover point comes when you have 25 times your annual expenses, which functionally gives you a 4% withdrawal rate indefinitely. For example, an annual expense of $36,000 requires $900,000 in total assets, 36,000 times 25, for becoming financially independent. In Chapter 9, we'll help you decide when to make the leap from saving to investing. When you're finally comfortable, let's say you begin by investing $5,000 in a long-term bond. The income from that investment will become part of your monthly investment income figure. The next $5,000 you accumulate will be invested in a similar way, and the next, and the next, and the next. Let's go back to Nina's chart and see how that looks. See figure 8.4 in your PDF. Since she started out with some debt, Nina's monthly investment income line didn't even show up until about a year after she took the hotel maid job. Once she started accumulating savings and converting them to capital, however, her monthly investment income kept going up. In January of year 4, for example, Nina had a monthly investment income of $215, while her expenses were $845. By the next January, her monthly investment income is $350, and her expenses are still less than $1,000. Now look at February of year 5. Her monthly investment income is $545, and her expenses are still in the $950 range. What you are seeing at work here is not only Nina's increasing investment income, but what's known as the magic of compound interest. Even if the amount added to your capital each month is a consistent increment, e.g., your monthly savings are always $500, compound interest makes sure that the monthly investment income line on your chart curves upward rather than remaining straight. This is the magic of compound interest that your relatives would have talked to you about. Compound interest means you add your interest income to your capital and apply the percent return to the combined total, not just to the original capital. For example, year one you earn 4% on $100, adding $4 to your capital. Year two, apply 4% to your capital, now $104, and you earn $4.16. You add that to your capital. Year 3, apply 4% to $108.16, and you earn $4.33. Add that to your capital. Year 4, apply 4% to $112.49, and you earn $4.50. Add that to your capital. Year 5, apply 4% to $116.99, and you earn $4.68. Apply that to your capital. And on and on. This exponential growth applies to any system in which there is an annual increase. The rule of thumb is that anything will double in 10 years if it grows at a 7% rate. Money you've invested, human population, your debt, cards today range from 12% to 24% if you carry a balance. You do the compound interest math. Given our more conservative 4% rate, your $100 will become $200 in 18 years. You can see this upward trend developing in Nina's wall chart. That modest yet ever-increasing monthly investment income line is steadily gaining on the fairly stable monthly expenses line. We'll see the significance of this in a moment. But for now, all we need to notice is that simply doing the steps month in, month out has caused Nina's investment income to head up. This will also happen to you. Where do you actually put your savings? During your wealth accumulation years, you'll first want to build up liquid, i.e. readily available cash in the bank. Common wisdom says you should have 3, ideally 6 months of expenses in liquid cash stashed in your bank. It is risk-free because federal deposit insurance means that Uncle Sam has you covered up to $250,000 per account if the bank fails. But even the bank isn't as simple as it was several decades ago. You have choices. Do you consider your bank's track record in bankrolling companies that pollute and discriminate? Do you choose one that's closest to your home? Do you choose a credit union, a local member-owned financial cooperative? Do you choose an online bank accessible anywhere in the world to eke out a fraction more interest? We call this liquid cash your cushion. Many call it an emergency fund because it's there if you have to fly home to see a sick parent or buy a new car if your old Volvo blows a head gasket. It's where you store your daily life money, depositing income and paying bills. If you're currently living paycheck to paycheck, the thought of saving up a half a year's expenses may seem impossible, but don't fear. Following this program will prepare you to do that and then some. Beyond your cushion. In Chapter 9, you'll learn about investment vehicles that are most likely to conserve capital while generating income. Joe Dominguez recommended U.S. Treasury bonds for this purpose. But as we will see, the golden opportunity of Treasury bonds is long gone, and we don't know whether it's coming back. Because of that, Chapter 9 will also discuss other strategies FIRs have used in the years since Your Money, Your Life was published in 1992. For now, focus on increasing your liquid cash and then purchasing laddered CDs, certificates of deposit with staggered maturity dates, or if you follow current FIRE, Financial Independence Retire Early Theory, index funds, explained in Chapter 9. Some of you may be lucky enough to already have savings opportunities at your fingertips. If your company offers a retirement plan, such as a 401k or similar, take advantage of it because many employers will match your contribution, essentially giving you free money for investing at an average of 6% of each paycheck. Receiving this match instantly doubles your money and is by far one of the best returns on your investments. Plus, it grows tax-free. Most 401ks now are managed by large brokerage houses that offer you a variety of options, from mutual funds to bond funds. For those self-employed readers, you too can open a 401k or a SEP and contribute through your business. If your employer doesn't offer such a plan, consider an individual retirement account or IRA. Anyone can open one. And much like an employer-provided retirement account, an IRA also provides tax advantages and grows tax-free. Both a 401k and an IRA are excellent accounts that all working people can take advantage of in some way. There are plenty of other options. This is simply an overview of some of the common places people choose to turn their savings into income-producing investments. It may seem strange, but for now, your monthly investment income line is not influenced by where and how you currently save money, as long as you keep saving it. Later, when you are FI and investing for passive income, this will no longer be needed. As we mentioned before, this is the way you can project the income you will have from your FI portfolio, whether it's in a checking account, CDs, or retirement account, you apply the 4% formula to your capital to generate this projection of returns. The crossover point. One day, while you're looking at your wall chart, you will realize that you can project your monthly investment income line into the future. Because you have established a fairly steady trend in your total monthly expenses, you can reasonably project that line into the future as well. If your expenses stabilize in a range of like $2,800 a month to $3,200 a month, pick the higher number just so you feel very safe projecting what your post-FI expenses will be. That will quiet the fears some may have about unforeseen expenses. You will notice that at some time in the not-too-distant future, those two lines, total monthly expenses and monthly investment income, will cross. We call that the crossover point. See figure 8.5 in your PDF. Beyond the crossover point, income from your investment capital will be higher than your monthly expenses, and your employment officially becomes optional. The crossover point provides us with our final definition of financial independence. At the crossover point, where monthly investment income exceeds your monthly expenses, you will be financially independent in the traditional sense of that term. You will have passive income from a source other than your job. The power of a visible time horizon. This realization has had a powerful impact on many people. Think about it. If you see your life is bigger than your job and can conceive of having to work for money for only a finite time and foreseeable period of time, then you are likely to be an even more highly motivated, high-integrity worker. The qualities of self-insurance, high motivation, dedication, integrity, joyful pride of workmanship, and responsibility that you adopt as you learn to value your life energy are squared when you realize that you need to work for money for a finite period of time. When Larry D., a human resources employee in a big corporation, was able to calculate from years of tracking, evaluating, charting, see figure 8.6 in your PDF, that he would reach the crossover point within a finite period of time, he went through a metamorphosis at work that astounded him. Finally, I saw financial independence was going to happen. We were right on schedule for it. I stopped worrying about whether anybody was going to fire me or whether I would get laid off or whether I stepped on toes, and it was extremely empowering. His wife said he'd come home from work saying, "I'm bulletproof. I'm bulletproof." I just started going gangbusters at work. It was kind of scary from just about everybody else's perspective, too, because I had phenomenal energy and incredible confidence. I negotiated some of the toughest settlements that I'd probably ever negotiated during those 6 or 8 months. And I did not lose. Not only did I not lose, I prevailed big time on everything. If a manager really screwed up bad on something, I said, "Okay, send them to me. I'll fix it." It worked out really well for the company and for me. Take a minute to think about what would happen if you knew that you would have to work for money for a limited, foreseeable length of time instead of that vague limbo of working until traditional retirement. You would still appear to be working for your boss, but you would know you were working for your own freedom. If you are close to retirement age, how does it feel to consider shaving off a few years in the workplace and adding them to your retirement years? If you are in your 40s or even 30s, imagine having half your life ahead of you to fill as you will, not as you must. One of the cornerstones of this program for those wishing to go all the way to financial independence is concentrating on making money now so that you don't have to make money later. You are thus committing yourself to intensively and intentionally earning money without selling out your integrity or endangering your health for a limited period of time. There is now a worldwide community of FIRE practitioners who want the freedom to design their own lives. Getting clear about their finances and how they're spending their life energy empowers them to become masters of their own destiny. They aren't all set for life through investments. Yes, some people truly manage to live for the rest of their lives from the capital they built in their accumulation phase. They do it once and are forever free. But not everyone, by any means. For some, FIRE is more like sequential sabbaticals. You work, save, invest, exit paid employment for travel or study or raising kids or retooling skills, and re-enter paid employment some months or years later. For some, it's FIRE for 9 months, seasonal employment for the summer, rinse and repeat. For some, it's FIRE as a baseline, plus side hustles. For some, it's continuing to work, perhaps trying something new or starting your own business, knowing it's optional because you have an FI baseline from investments, retirement plans, or Social Security. Even if your freedom leads you to another career, another irresistible business idea, or another lifestyle choice that costs more money, and you return to paid employment, your first finite period of time changes you forever. You know you can do it again. You're savvy and empowered, resilient and knowledgeable. Sam is a homesteader who wants to re-inhabit the heartland of this country. When he and his wife, Donna, decided to try to align their personal economy with the planet's ecology, they returned to their hometown in Kansas. They bought some land from a friend, tore down an old barn for lumber, and built a passive solar house with the help of 60 friends and Sam's father, a carpenter and stonemason. At the same time, Sam worked for his father hauling trash, while Donna went to nursing school to learn a consistently marketable skill. In everything they did, they tried to embody their values: self-sufficiency, household economy, energy efficiency, and eating what they grew in their garden or was locally grown. They took things slowly, being careful to pay as they went and not get in over their heads. Ideally, they hoped to eliminate over half the standard expenses, like rent as well as most food and utilities, and live below taxable levels. Collecting trash took only 5 hours a day. Meanwhile, Donna worked 2 days a week as a nurse. Life was sweet, and they were getting ends to meet, almost. But several things happened on their way to Eden. 2 children, health insurance, buying the trash business from Sam's father, a car that quit, and a house that just kept crying out for small improvements. Underneath the trappings of living simply, they were caught in the classic too much month at the end of the money and where does it all go syndrome. Eden, it seemed, could be as much of a trap as the suburbs. It was then they discovered the Your Money, Your Life program. When Sam saw the implications of the finite period of time, his life opened up. Garbage collecting was all well and good, but the thought of doing it for the rest of his life was not attractive. What really fired his imagination was the possibility of being financially self-sufficient and dedicating himself to developing a sustainable yield homestead on their 4 acres and helping his neighbors to discover the right mix and rotation for sustainably raising cattle, wheat, feed grain, and other crops in the semi-arid grasslands of western Kansas. He wanted to do this not only for himself, but for the larger community. He could see the small farmers disappearing. Every year the population in his part of the country goes down, while the average age goes up. He wanted to change that through his own example. Perhaps, he mused, young people could go to the city for 5 or 10 years, become financially independent, and return to the heartland with their cash needs taken care of, and then regenerate subsistence farming and small-town living. Perhaps his small efforts could create a good life, not only for his family, but for other families, and rural America as well. The finite period of time opened Sam's options from years of garbage collecting to a future filled with other projects. 4 years after doing the FI course, he reached his personal crossover point. His investment income matched his trash income. He could stop working for money and start working for his dreams. Cash, C-A-C-H-E. Looking at that crossover point, you might wonder if you could really be financially secure on passive income for the rest of your life. That is a very long time. The what-ifs and what-abouts will start scratching at the back door of your mind, looking to get in. This is where a third element of your financial security comes in, your cash. Cash is savings in addition to core capital or cushion. In pioneer days, a cache was a hole in the ground where travelers buried provisions for later use that were too heavy to carry. In your FI program, your cache is a store of extra money beyond your capital or your cushion that builds up for future use. Rosemary I found herself getting increasingly uneasy as her projected crossover point approached. She was used to her job, and the thought of turning off that trusty faucet and depending on bond income alone was scary. Rationally, she knew her bond income was enough and then some, but she still had irrational fears of not being able to re-enter the job market if FI somehow didn't work. Maybe this is what trapeze artists feel when they are assessing whether to let go of their bar so they can swing over to the other one, she thought. Her safety net, cushion, was in place, but it felt very far away. She decided to bring the net closer and beef it up by building up her cash. With those extra thousands in the bank, she found it easy to face down her inner worrywart, who kept asking, "But what if you total your car, or have a major illness, or your house burns down, all in the same year?" But if you no longer work for an income, where does cash come from? Most people find that their expenses go down significantly when they leave paid employment. No more commuting expenses, no more dress for success expenses, no more restaurant lunch expenses, and many more such reductions. So, since the crossover point is based on your total expenses while you are engaged in paid employment, you might find investment income piling up post-FI. That is what we refer to in the definition of FI as having enough and then some. In addition, your FI habits don't end. What you learn during your money transformation will stay with you for life. Your expenses go down through careful, conscious, and creative spending. Finally, many things you bought during your accumulation phase, like your sturdy car or ultimate camping gear or off-the-grid house, will never need to be replaced. They were part of your pre-FI expenses. Further savings. Further cash. Taxes on post-FI income are, or should continue to be, far lower than your high-earning years. More cash. Finally, you can grow your cash for unanticipated expenses or increased capital through side hustles, part-time work, gifts, inheritances, or even a new career that happens to come with a paycheck. No one ever said you can't choose to return to work, did they? The initial function of the cash may be psychological. It proves to you that you do have enough and then some over time, helping to quell any lingering what-ifs. It is from cash that you can replace major items necessary to your chosen lifestyle when they finally do wear out, things like a car or a bicycle or crowns for your back teeth. Your cash is a living resource, not a one-time bundle that you will deplete. Capital, cushion, cash. The three pillars of financial independence. There are, however, three other pillars of wealth that you rely on, possibly more than money. Natural wealth and financial interdependence. Imagine your savvy Uncle Louis or your shrewd Tia Rosalita have the kind of partners who provide the glue in the family. Auntie Rachel and Tio Manolo. They exude love. They make food, they make music, they make jokes, they make everyone comfortable and at ease. They hug you and say, "Money isn't everything. If you have self-respect and love and family and help others, that's your true wealth." This isn't either or. All your relatives have a point. This program works because it walks on two legs, your dollars and cents life and your love life in the widest sense. One is national currency, the money we use to trade and invest. The other is natural currency, the endless shuttling of giving and receiving between people and all living things who recognize one another as kin. National currency is a relatively recent human invention, controlled by financial institutions like banks, doled out by people and institutions we don't control. Natural currency came into being with the first living organism, which created a mutually beneficial exchange with other organisms. For any life form to continue, it needs to provide some benefit for the life forms around it. The more we weave our lives beneficially with others, the less money we need to have access to everything we could possibly want. You know this because you've done steps 1 through 7 and discovered that spending less is both possible and pleasurable once you enter the sharing economy. Whether it's using public services like the library or using the secondary market of peer-to-peer exchange like Craigslist or the do-it-yourself economy in which saving is the byproduct of empowerment. You spend less not just because you're a tightwad. You spend less because you've become a more skillful, loving, sharing, caring, receiving, giving human and simply need less of your own stuff to get by. Whittling down your expenses and piling up money isn't an end in itself. It's a byproduct of doing the steps. This is natural currency. This is the relational rather than transactional economy. This is financial interdependence, which in fact is the wealth most of us depend upon. It is the wealth we all share when we coexist together. You don't have to believe in this for it to be true. Clean oxygen will still flow into your lungs. The endless roads and bridges and institutions of civilization will still be there for you. Those who learn how to prosper in this interdependent love economy, though, will also be more financially independent, that is, less dependent on finances to meet their needs. Auntie Rachel and Tio Manolo would say that real wealth is what you know, who walks with you in life, and the society where you give your best and receive your due. They are as simple as A, B, C. The ABCs of natural wealth. A is for abilities, including your skills and knowledge, what you know how to do. B is for belonging, who walks with you in life. C is for community, the society you live in real life and even online, your neighbors, your city, your environment, and nature. Abilities, belonging, and community are the three forms of natural wealth you build intuitively in the process of aligning how you earn, spend, and save money with your purpose and fulfillment. As you take your eyes off the false prize of more, better, and different stuff, you put them on the real prizes, friends, family, sharing, caring, learning, meaning challenges, intimacy, rest, and being present, connected, and respected. In other words, those best things in life that are free. Like all things natural, building this wealth takes time, attention, patience, and reciprocity, that volleying of giving and receiving that builds relationships. Build natural wealth during your financial accumulation phase, and your FI may come sooner, last longer, and be happier by far. Abilities. Abilities are the do-it-yourself skills that save you lots of money and can make you money if you need it. As we pointed out in earlier chapters, your determination to be more self-reliant comes as you realize how much of your life energy goes to paying a plumber for a house call when for less than a dollar and the time it takes to watch a free 15-minute online video, you could have fixed the faucet washer yourself. A few do-it-yourself wins, and you look around for what else you could learn. You fix the vacuum cleaner, just a ganglion of cat hair in the hose. Then your car stereo, just loose wire. Then you replace the defunct garbage disposal yourself by following the instructions that came with it. You might graduate to do-it-yourself deck building or remodeling and be endlessly and lucratively, if you want, useful to other people. All along the way, you are saving money, empowering yourself, and building a wealth of skills that you could actually monetize should you need extra national currency in the future. Maybe becoming Ms. Fix-It isn't your cup of tea, but you like cooking. Perhaps discovering how much life energy goes into restaurant meals inspires you to cook from scratch. Maybe you and your partner take ethnic cooking classes together, and making meals becomes one of your favorite forms of play. Not only does this mean nourishing meals for less money, this ability could be monetized by becoming a caterer, a chef at a restaurant, or a personal chef with a raft of clients. Photography can be a hobby, an art form, or a job. And if you love it, all of these will blend into one pleasure. Bicycle repair, house painting, website building, social media marketing, accounting, and on, all save you money and make you valuable to others. Sometimes it makes more sense to invest in yourself by attending a training or getting certified in such skills rather than investing in a financial instrument. Get certified as an emergency medical technician, and you will be a sought-after volunteer or paid professional and a better role model for your kids. Post-financial independence, you will still be part of the economy. Keep building skills, and you'll stay FI, and also be able to make money again should the need arise. Having diverse skills and abilities is one key to resilience, the capacity to thrive no matter what happens in the financial markets. Honing your skills gives you leverage, freedom, and choice. This diversity of abilities is one form of wealth that you can build over a lifetime to challenge yourself, to do for others, to be of use in your community, to make money if needed, and to meet life with courage. Damon S. was following the traditional path of a university education and a lifelong career with a single company from which he would retire in, quote-unquote, old age. While he valued his income, a life of wage slavery seemed unappealing, insecure, and difficult to break out of. In a flash of insight, he saw that he had no skills to meet his basic needs, food, water, shelter, without money. On a mission, he cut his expenses, saved, and started his own business. With the surplus time and money, he enrolled in a wilderness college, learning how to live self-sufficiently, survive with nothing in the wild, forage, and grow his own food. He invested national wealth in building natural wealth and sees before him a rich life of community, love, and happiness, with enough money for whatever money is good at. What could you learn to do for love and money? What have you always wanted to know or never thought you could master? Could you set a goal to do it? What did you love doing as a kid that you could train in now for a side gig or a survival skill? Lifelong learning is a key to happiness. Invest in your ability to survive and thrive and help others, and you will never be bored. It will keep paying off in an alert mind and a secure place in society long after your years of paid employment come to an end. Belonging. Whom can you turn to when you need help? Who will listen to you with compassion? Who would bring you meals when you're sick? Who will celebrate your joys? Our human bonds of love and loyalty have always gotten us through the night and life. Mobility, urbanization, and careerism have sucked the time right out of our lives for what award-winning author Rian Eisler calls the caring economy. But FIers are reversing that trend. Not only does this caring economy make life less expensive, it makes life richer in precisely what life truly is for, giving and receiving. Maybe Uncle Harry came over to fix the faucet. Later you go to your friend Lily's house to pay the favor forward with what Uncle Harry taught you. Then you get sick and Lily drops off some get well soon soup. And on it goes in this currency of belonging. At one time, church and family connected our lives in these mutually supportive ways. But more and more people are now outside such traditional webs of caring. Of the 40% of Americans who say they belong to a church, less than 20% actually attend. In its most recent survey of religion in America, Gallup reports that it is less and less important in our lives. According to the U.S. Census Bureau's Fertility and Family Statistics Branch, in the 40 years between the 1970 census and the 2010 census, the portion of households with two married parents and children fell by half, from 40% to 20%, while the number of single-person households grew from 17% in 1970 to nearly 28% in 2012. Aging boomers are acutely aware of how thinly populated their circles of mutual aid have become, how poor and sturdy relationships they are, at the same time as the social safety net is weakening. It's sobering, frightening, and for many, motivating. Deaf and dying groups, aging-in-place groups, and book groups are focusing on this gap and weaving local caring networks. Estranged families are having the conversation about what to do with aging parents. It's a scramble. This is why a lifelong practice of building belonging wealth is crucial to any FI program. What relationships from your past need repair? And can you repair them so that kindness can flow? It's no accident that most spiritual paths, including Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery programs, suggest an honest look at your relationships, whom you have harmed, whom you still resent, whom you need to make peace with. Loneliness is epidemic and expensive. The currency of belonging has both natural and financial benefits. Being able to distribute and exchange chores, errands, and needs helps save everyone time and money. Those with strong relationships will always have someone to cook a dinner with, drive them to the airport, help them to move across town, or introduce them to future employment opportunities. This is sometimes referred to as social capital. That is, the wealth you create through your networks of mutually beneficial relationships. While dating and mating is one way to build belonging wealth, cultivating enduring friendships and relationships in your local community is also key. Just as dancing is a skill, belonging is a skill you can build through listening, acts of kindness, and simple rituals like a weekly call, a monthly women's or men's circle, or book or crafts groups. Community. Widen the circle of relatedness and you are in the third pillar of natural wealth, community. Community is a natural human currency. It is currency because it facilitates trade within communities that share and care outside the money economy. My community recently adopted a mutual aid model to help people age in place. A big savings when you consider the cost of long-term care. The more trusting the community, the more resources are shared freely. Proximity plus clear communication can free up a lot of underutilized stuff so that many people can benefit from the same item. Isolation is expensive. Sharing is wealth, sometimes literally, through services that will rent your car, home, or RV to others. But also more deeply, as in the myriad of daily exchanges that have nothing to do with financial transactions. Community is also about choosing wisely the location, location, location where you plant your roots, the shops on your block, the social services you can draw on, the culture that's yours just by going downtown, the productivity of the farms and the quiet of the forests. If you are picking where to settle, consider the context as well as the specific house with specific features. Where do the food, water, and electricity come from? Can you get what you need without getting into your car? How about cultural life, nightlife? Look at a climate map. Whatever your beliefs, how will it be in 20 years, in 50 years? If you've already found your place on Earth, wherever that may be, you can build this wealth by meeting friends in local cafes, serving on nonprofit boards, running for city or county government, writing letters to the paper, singing in a choir, joining a church, and on and on. It's the totality of the social and natural systems that will hold you safe, nourish your soul, inspire your service, and provide you with what you need over the long haul. The ABCs of inflation. Joe Dominguez was fond of saying, consciousness grows faster than inflation. In other words, you can inflate your skills, competency, knowledge, close companions, and community connections faster than money. Learning to partner dance can be a hedge, or singing in a choir, or building websites. Once you are FI, you'll have more time to learn, more time to do it yourself, more time to bond with others, more time to find just what you need for a fraction of the cost, more time to volunteer in your community or join a church. Your travels can be cheap and leisurely rather than expensive and rushed. Unlike in your working years, convenience now has far less influence on your decisions. What about the S in those ABCs of wealth? That's your stuff, your financial and material wealth. Notice it's not capitalized. That's because it's only a small consideration in the caring economy. Your financial independence is simply one corner of your foundation of security and freedom. Financial interdependence includes all four corners. abilities, belonging, and community, along with your hard-won stuff. These constitute your total nest egg. Together, your national wealth and natural wealth will make you rich beyond measure. Understanding the ABCs of wealth adds a deeper dimension to the crossover point. It isn't just the end of the need for paid employment. It is stepping across a threshold into a more loving, fulfilling, and interesting life. Whether you're at family dinners with Rachel and Louie, volunteering with Rosalita and Manolo, learning to fish with Archie, running for public office, or meditating in a cave for 40 days. Reaching your crossover point is a mighty accomplishment. You haven't been turned out to pasture by someone else. You've restructured your life around what is most fulfilling and valuable to you. You have dedicated yourself to replacing financial fiction with financial facts, challenging many old beliefs about yourself, your money, and your life. You've woken up from the dream that more is better and defined what is enough for you. You've become accountable with your life energy, tracking and evaluating the flow of money into and out of your life. You've developed an internal yardstick for fulfillment, liberating yourself from the sway of advertising and peer pressure. You've explored your values and personal purpose and have increasingly oriented your life around what really matters to you. Your life is yours to create. Crossover point jitters. Such passages, though, can be unnerving. One day I got a call from an enthusiastic, creative man who'd kept us abreast of his journey to FI for years. "I'm there. I'm FI." "Congratulations," I said, and went on effusively about his achievement. "You don't get it. I'm terrified. What am I going to do with all this freedom?" If this creative man was terrified, what about others? In fact, we discovered many hit a strange wall of angst just before they crossed over. No, not dying. But for some, crossing over into freedom can feel that way. Joe Dominguez quelled those possible post-FI jitters by spending his weekends doing what he imagined he'd do full-time once he was free. He knew he wanted to travel the country in a motorhome after he retired, so he spent his wealth accumulation years designing his camper and going out to a state park in New Jersey on the weekends. By the time he crossed over, Joe was ready to use his free time well. Now that the FIRE movement is raging, we know more about how to adjust to all that freedom, whatever your age. Here's some advice culled from the blogs and discussion boards, as well as our own correspondence. At first, you may be jumpy or bored, or you may be like a hyperactive kid in the candy store wanting to gobble experiences. You'll get over it. You'll settle into a routine run not by the clock, but by what makes you tick inside. Whatever carrots you dangled in front of yourself to keep you going, you'll start eating them. Travel, sleep, a week at the beach, political activism. Many find that personal or physical issues they put on the back burner flare up. These problems have waited in line a long time for your attention. They don't mean you made a mistake. They mean you are getting in shape, body and soul. Whether you're 30, 40, 50, or older, your body will likely need attention, and that can be an adventure all on its own. You may learn to play a musical instrument, or paint, sing in a choir, tap dance, or fish, join an ultimate frisbee team, get hooked on community theater, go conference hopping, get lost in multiplayer online fantasy games, get in better shape than you've ever been before, meditate, or serve meals on wheels. You might even tinker in your shop or at your computer and come up with some amazing solution to a gnarly problem and spread it, giving you more influence than you ever imagined. Nonprofit organizations will offer you seats on their boards. You'll have a chance to ask, how many boards or committees is enough? FIers have done all of these and more. And if you're like such FIers, you will find that you have no idea how you had time for a job. Breaking the link between work and money In actual fact, will exponentially expand the possibility of discovering your true work, of reintegrating the disparate parts of your life, and being truly whole. Your days will be brimming, even those days you just putter, tidy, cook, or wander. One activity folds into another without pressure, unless you like pressure. Nothing is trivial, because you put your full attention on it, from meditating to folding laundry, to making an important speech to a packed auditorium. It's what economist Juliet Shore calls plenitude. You will be free to work for fun, for giving back, for inspiration, or aspiration, or self-transformation, or whatever you choose. Choice is the true heart of financial independence. It's not about the money. It's about the choice of where you direct your most precious resources, your time, your attention, and your life. There is no formula for how you live after the crossover point. And that's the point. You are free to invent your life. You are free to explore what Buckminster Fuller meant when he said, "We are called to be architects of the future, not its victims." Summary of Step 8. Each month, apply the following equation to your total accumulated capital and post the monthly investment income as a separate line on your wall chart. Capital times current long-term interest rate over 12 months equals monthly investment income. When you begin investing your money according to the guidelines offered in the next chapter, start entering your actual interest income for your monthly investment income on your wall chart while still applying the formula to your additional savings. After trends become clear, project that line to the crossover point. You will then have an estimate of how much time you will have to work before reaching financial independence. Money Talk questions. Get inspired by hearing others' thoughts and stories. Freeing ourselves isn't the same as going it alone. Others can accelerate our path to all four FIs, intelligence, integrity, independence, and interdependence. Using the suggestions in the epilogue for how to have a money talk, raise these questions in your daily reflections, with your partner, or in social groups. Remember, adding why at the end of any question will take it deeper. Adding how has society shaped my answer to any question will take it wider. There are no right answers. What ideas, practical to wild, do you have about how you'd pay off all your debt? What do you want your legacy to be? If you didn't have to work for a living, what would you do with your time? If you could take a year off work, how would you spend it? What skills or social networks could you build now to depend less on money to meet your needs? Chapter 9. Where to stash your cash for long-term financial freedom. Step 9. Investing for FI. This step will help you become knowledgeable and sophisticated about income-producing investments that can provide a consistent income sufficient to your needs over the long term. This is the chapter about where to stash your cash as you approach and go beyond the crossover point for your FI3, financial independence years. If you got here before reading the rest of the book, expecting some hot new investment scheme, please go back to page 1. This chapter is for those who've accumulated sufficient money through jobs, running your own business, inheritance, or even successful investing that you're able and eager to free up your time for what matters more than money. Empower yourself. One of our primary missions in this book is empowerment, allowing you to take back the power that you have inadvertently given over to money. In the previous chapter, we made it clear that your capital produces monthly investment income, and in doing so effectively frees you from working for a dime. Knowing that money can work for you This chapter focuses on common investment options that FIers around the world use to maintain wealth, generate the and then some money, and enrich the communities in which they live. An investment is simply somewhere to put your money hoping to make more money. FIers typically turn to one or another of these. You can invest conservatively in bonds, which are essentially loans to institutions with a guarantee of repayment with interest, or in revolving loan funds, which put your money to work in your region or in developing countries. You can invest within your IRA, 401k, or brokerage account in a wide range of mutual